So without further ado, let's get into this. First part of this is ending burnout. Now, ending burnout, first of all, if you don't hear me well or something's not working with the stream, please let me know in the comments. First thing is ending burnout. When we say burnout, what do we mean? I think we kind of know what we're talking about, but I just want to get some clarity. That feeling that you just push and push and push and but you push too far and you just can't go anymore. And the term burnout is very accurate. It's like you only have a given amount of fuel and you've literally burnt out all your fuel. So why does that happen? How does that happen? First, it can be that the person just simply runs out of energy. You just don't have any more energy to give. But usually there's a reason for that, because humans in general can be quite limitless in what they're able to do and how much they're able to push themselves. Usually we burn out when we have somewhat at some level decided that we just can't do this anymore. Meaning, potentially, could we do this? Could we push ourselves harder? We potentially could. Is it possible? Yes, but we just simply don't want to anymore. Or part of us just can't continue doing it. We have no more fuel to keep on pushing and keep on going because enough has happened for us to realize that this isn't getting us anywhere. Very often, burnout happens actually when there's been success. Because until there's been success, there's always that extra, let me push a little bit harder. Maybe if I do a little bit more, then everything will be fine. So it's when we've actually gotten the success, whatever it's been, whether it's relationship success or financial success, career success, emotional, spiritual, we accomplish something and then we still feel like empty. It hasn't gotten us anywhere. And so now to continue putting more resources into this and push ourselves and push and push and push after we've gotten nowhere, no. And that's like insult to injury. And that's when the burnout happens. And that's when everything collapses. The good thing about burnout is that it's really an opportunity for a new beginning. If we wouldn't burn out and we would just keep on pushing ourselves, we'd just basically be like machines. I guess the blessing in disguise for this whole thing with burnout is it's really, really a great opportunity for a new beginning. And it's hard to say to someone going through it, but it really is. It really is. And what it really comes down to, the reason why the energy has been lost is there's something missing at the soul level. There's no more why, there's no more reason to go for it. And I think it's important to just give a definition of soul, that's not really like that one can accept really no matter what belief system they have. When we say that we have a soul, what do we mean? And I think the best way to look at it as humans, we have this unique quality where we're always looking for more, to be more than what we are. Everything else in existence doesn't really have that. I mean, animals, trees, plants, they're all pretty content being who they are and just reproducing. But we humans have this just insatiable desire for more, to be more, to experience more, to have more. What is that? Where does that come from? And that really is the human soul, the human spirit. What is that? I don't know. Hard for me to say what it is, and it's sadly hard for me to give a definition of what it is, that would be acceptable to almost anyone. So I'd like to avoid that. What I would like to say is that we all experience this, and that was what I mean when I say the word soul. This is insatiable desire for more. And that's why we can push ourselves so hard to the point of burnout, is because since we desire more, we want to have more, we want to be more. So we can push ourselves so hard, so beyond what is normal or necessary. The only thing is that when we see that what we're pushing towards is not really what life is about, it's not really getting us anywhere, that's when the world comes crashing down, and that's burnout. But the good thing about it is that it's really an opportunity for a new beginning. It's an opportunity to understand, well, what is my life really about? What would it be worth pushing myself towards again? Because I don't want to push hard again towards something that's not going to lead me anywhere. So what will actually get me somewhere? And so that's so and if we figure that out, and if we get to that, we can end burnout. But just a little caveat here is that there are levels to everything. And so one way to look at burnout is not necessarily to see it as the worst thing or something that you never want to experience ever again. I wouldn't look at it like that. Burnout, I think, in a way, is a signal of some level of success, that you've hit a plateau where you went, and that's good. And now you're ready for a new beginning. And if you look at it that way and you frame burnout in that lens, this isn't something that you should be dreading to never have to experience again. It's something that you should understand thoroughly what it is so you know how to deal with it. But at this point, at least for me, what I've seen is that burnout means an opportunity for a much deeper and newer beginning. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you know how to use it, you know how to deal with it, it can be a very good thing. Now, knowing that and being able to adjust yourself probably means that it won't be as intense or as damaging or difficult when it happens. But it is a natural ebb and flow of things to at some point realize everything that I understood till now has gotten me so far, but I'm going to need to really evaluate if I'm going to get further to the next level of who I really want to be and what I really want to accomplish. So that's the first thing about on just the topic of burnout. And again, I'm sure it lists people listening here. You might have a question, you might want to chime in. I really would love to hear you. I put the Zoom link here in the chats or in the comments. Do join the Zoom and we can make this a much more interesting experience. But if you don't, I'll keep on yapping. So so ending burnout. So how do we end burnout? We end burnout really by just going through the cycle of discovering a deeper why. Once we've discovered a deeper why or deeper reason, we've kind of reconnected with our soul, our desire to do more, and we found a purpose. That's when burnout ends. Because now we can tap into a whole new resource of fuel and energy and passion and drive that's going to basically get us over the next hump. Until that's been exhausted, and we see that now we can reach further, and we'll have to dig deeper to find something else more. That's much more. And so now the question is, how do we find that why? Is there a process and is there a way to really get deeper and to figure out what is my life really about? What have I been missing till now? And how can I access that? How can I access it and get to it to really deeply find a path that's going to work out much greater than the one that I chose beforehand? Okay. Now, the way to do this is the next part of what this was about, which is less burnout, but more balance. More balance. Very often with burnout, we talk about work-life balance, that why are we burning out? Because we're not balanced enough. Now, it's not necessarily true. It's very easy possible to get balance to get burnt out trying to balance too many things. And part of why you don't like people burn out is because they just have way too much going on. Too much in work, too much in family, too much in everything. So the typical definition of balance, meaning devote some time for everything, is actually a recipe for burnout. Because if that time isn't quality time and it's not really getting you anywhere, then eventually you're going to be like, I need more than this. This is not working out. And then you burn out. Balance really is harmony. And what harmony is when different things that are not the same work together to form something that's more beautiful. Okay. So when we, like in music, harmony, it's like you have different things, someone singing differently, but they're playing together. So to be different but together, when we learn to find harmony in life is where we begin to see how different parts of our life, whether it's in work or it's in family or it's in our own personal development or growth or it's in spirituality or community, when we see how all the different parts of our life are playing to the same song, the same deeper purpose. So balance doesn't necessarily mean making compromises in time between one thing and the other. When we say balance, what we're really talking about is harmony. And when we're talking about harmony, what we're really talking about is being able to see how every single aspect of our life is leading us towards the same common goal. And they're all playing in alignment with each other. So my work is aligned with who I want to be as a parent, which is aligned with who I want to be spiritually, which is aligned with how I take care of my body physically. And that's aligned in terms of the impact that I want to have on my community and the people that I love and care about. That alignment that's heading towards one common goal or purpose, that is the harmony. And when we have that, that is a deeper why. That puts us in touch with our soul. That's where we feel like, there's some greater purpose to everything that I'm doing. And every part of my life is interconnected with the others. And when that happens, then we get more energy and we feel less burned out. Now, how do we work on harmony? How does someone work on harmony? Well, the first thing is you have to know the different things that you're harmonizing together. What are the core elements that need to be working with each other? And very often, what I see is too many or too few. We don't want to have too many things to keep track of, because then again, we're spread too thin. It's very hard to make significant progress anywhere, and then very easy to get burned out. But we also can't miss something important, because it's very hard to have harmony if one person in the orchestra is just not on the same page with everyone else. And the most elegant framework that I found for how to work this out is we look at our life. We look at our life in four main categories, four major categories. The first is the physical. The second is the emotional. The third is the intellectual. And the fourth is the spiritual. There's really nothing that we do that doesn't involve any one of those four. So there's nothing in life that you can say is outside of those four things. So those four things really encompass every aspect of our life. Anything that we're doing in life is either going to be physical, emotional, intellectual, or spiritual, or it's going to be a combination of those things. And so the best way, the simplest and most elegant way to get some harmony and connection in life is to look at every part of our life, the physical parts, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual, and try to figure out, where do I really want to be here? What do I really want to be doing? How do I want this part of my life to work out differently than it has been till now? It's very, very difficult to say, how do I want my life to change? And you might get focused on one thing or another thing. But like, what is it about my whole life? It's much easier to build your life up, the different life that you want to have, by taking out the parts of your life and thinking about how do I want to optimize all of those. So it's like if I want to make a better car, I can look at all the parts of the car and try to make them all better and help them work better with each other. That's how I'm actually going to get a better car. So to get more soul in life, to get more balance in life, to get more harmony in life, you have to look at all the things that make up your life. So the simple thing that you can even start doing now or today is you just look at, okay, physically, what's going on in my life? How's my health? How are my finances? What's going on with my job? And how do I want that to change? And what can I do to change it? And then go to your emotional part of your life. How's my mental health? How are my relationships with my spouse, my kids, friends? How do I want that to change? What can I do to make that better? Then go to the intellectual part of life and start thinking about, well, what do I really want to learn about and know? What am I missing? What's the gap in my knowledge that if I could fill that gap, it would really unlock something for me in my life? And how can I get the unique ideas that I have? How can I get them out there so people understand and see things the way I see them? And what can I do to make that happen? And then go to the spiritual part of life and say, well, how would I like my spiritual life to look? How would I like to feel more connected to the source of, well, who I really am? What is the impact that I want to have on the world? What do I want people to say about me? How do I want this world to be different? Because I was in it. And what can I do about that? If you put the answers to those questions, on a piece of paper, you type them out and you look at them, you will see the pieces of the puzzle of your life come together, and then you will get a picture of the life that you really want to have and who you really want to be. That's the next level of who you are. And when you reach that level, and you're much more likely to reach that level now that you've actually defined it and looked at it, then you'll want to improve again, and you'll be able to reach the next level again of who you are. And by constantly iterating on this process and improving it, you're giving yourself the food and the nourishment. You're giving the soul the nourishment it needs to see and to recognize and to constantly be striving to become a better version of who you are, to have a greater impact on the world, to improve your life in significant ways. And what that does is it helps you consistently avoid getting burned out, because as long as you have feel passionate about what you're doing and feel that the purpose behind it is real, it's valid, it's current, it's not old or stale, then the chances of you burning out are very, very, very slow, very, very small. Unless you really miss something, which we all do. But again, once you realize you've missed it, then you recover, you find what you missed, and then get your energy back again, because now you found the why. At least a good enough life for right now. The other key element in doing this, and this is where we tend to miss things the most, this is where we tend to miss things, is that this exercise of looking into improving a given part of our life is not simply an intellectual exercise. Just like we have the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual parts of life, we have those same parts to ourselves. We have a physical part to our experience and who we are, our body experience, our taste, our touch, our sight, but also just our guts, our instincts, our intuitions, our gut feels, the signals that our body sends to us all the time about what's going on in our life. We have the emotional parts of who we are, our feelings and our emotions. And then we have the intellectual part of who we are, our thoughts, our thinking. And then we have the spiritual part of who we are. And where we access that in ourselves is kind of interesting and can be quite elusive. But we often find spirituality, where we have all of those parts of ourselves, all of those previous parts of ourselves working together. Meaning, if I'm thinking what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling and thinking about what I'm experiencing, then I'm so present in the moment that the chance of me having a spiritual experience is very, very, very high. And by a spiritual experience, I mean experience something that feels beyond what we are, something that's beyond me, something that's greater than me, but I experience it happening within me. That usually happens when all parts of us are engaged and in flow and in sync with each other at the same time. Now, how do we do that? It's the same thing. Just we get good at life about being good about all the parts that make up life. If you want to be good at basketball, you have to be good playing offense and defense. That's what makes up basketball. And then the different parts of offense, the shooting, the passing, the different parts of defense. So in life, if we want to be good at it, we have to find out what are the main parts of it, and then we have to get good at those parts. So in being a human being and being physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual, if we want to do a good job at that, we need to get pretty good at all those four things. It's not that many, but we want to be good at all of them. And we want to be good at them together with each other so that we can flow easily from one to the other. Getting good intellectually, to become better at who we are intellectually, means we have to be able to look at objectively at what we're thinking. We have to be able to put our thoughts down on paper and to look at them and to be able to critique them and say, hey, is this real? Is this true? Or am I just kind of playing games with myself here? Am I really being honest? That's a very, very scary thing for a person to do. And very often we need someone else to look at it and help us look at ourselves a bit objectively to see. A bit objectively to see, like, are we kind of telling ourselves in our head what we want to hear, but it's not really true? When we do this long enough with someone helping us, eventually we can learn to do it for ourselves, which is to basically be able to ask ourselves, what do we want in life? What assumptions are we making about us and about what we want to have? And looking at those things and asking ourselves, is that really true and is that really important? Become better at thinking, better at asking ourselves, is this true? What might not be correct about this? And what actually feels right? Even though it's not easy, even though it might be hard to face, what actually feels right? What seems to be true? That's thinking. To be better at emotions, to be better at feeling, means to learn how to engage with our emotions in a way that's very, very, very different than what we're used to. Emotions are like people. They're like kids, they're like children. They have full personalities. They have motivations, they have aspirations, they have their own intentions and their own agendas. Dealing with an emotion simply by being, oh, I'm happy, or oh, I'm sad, or I don't feel like it, or I want it. It's so cheap and it's so surfacey and it's just so not what an emotion really is. An emotion is like a whole person. And the way to really, really be able to become a more emotionally healthy person, a more emotionally developed and mature person, is to be able to really engage and understand and really converse with one's emotions, to speak to them, to let them speak to you, let them speak to us, let our feelings talk to us and really listen and hear them and get them in deeply. Experience them deeply, not just intellectually, but also embody, like feel in our body, in our every fiber of our being, what any given emotion inside of us wants to say or wants to do and why it wants it. It's an incredibly, incredibly deep and intimate experience, and it's like what happens to a relationship with a person, like what happens to your relationship with a loved one when you actually listen to the person and really hear them. What happens in your relationship with someone when you actually feel really heard, really listened to, like they really got you, like you really could speak who you are? If you've never experienced that, then it's hard to describe in words, but if you have experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying here, which might be new to you, is that that's an experience that you need to have within yourself, within the different parts of who you are, within the different emotions that make up the parts of who you are. It's to really, really listen to yourself and to what your feelings are telling you. And that's on the emotional level. And on the physical level, we tend, especially the more intellectually developed we get, we tend to really, really start to go very far away from who we are as physical beings. But it's just a good reminder that we are humans, and part of being human is having a physical body. And that body's role is not simply to keep our mind alive so it can continuously process and think about what it wants to do next. That body is itself a living being, an intelligent being, an integral part of who we are. It's going to be part of any spiritual experience that we might have. And something that we can really, really listen to. And if we listen to it, magic happens. And I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I see it with almost everyone I work with. If they really learn how to listen to the body, the changes that they experience in their life are indescribable. And what it means to listen to the body is to simply be respectful, primarily to be very, very respectful and sensitive to whatever messages you're getting, physical signals you're getting from your body, from the desire to eat, to subtle sensations you might be feeling in your belly or in your heart, as important matters come before you or you have to deal with them. And listening doesn't mean necessarily acting upon. You can't necessarily do everything your body desires to do, but it means at least listening, hearing, giving space to actually feel and experience what's going on inside your body, the pleasant sensations with the unpleasant ones. So as we learn to become much more adept at doing that, then our ability to get insight into who we are and what we really want, it skyrockets. It absolutely skyrockets. And just some simple tools to even start playing with this and doing this on your own is that, if you want to get good intellectually, write your thoughts down on paper and just look at them. And see if you can poke at them and ask some questions and try to get deeper insight into what you're thinking. If you want to get deeper into your emotions and to understand your feelings better, then I suggest you give yourself permission to pretend to be an emotion as it's coming up and just talk as it is, or write. You can write as it is. Stream of consciousness, just let it rip on a piece of paper and see an experience and a feeling as it just gushes itself out onto the piece of paper in front of you. And if you want to get a little bit better at sensing your body, all you need to do is simply just close your eyes. You could do it eyes open, but I like to do it eyes closed. Just close your eyes and just pay attention to what you're feeling in there. And give it some time and give it some respect. Whether it's a gurgle in your belly or just a pleasant sensation you feel in your hands or in your feet, or if it's even a pain, where do you feel the pain? Where do you feel less pain? And just spend some time sitting with what's going on in your body. When you do this, your ability to know and to interpret the information that's coming out of you will be so much better. And so therefore you'll have such an easier time figuring out what does your soul, your God, or whatever you want to call it, really want from you in this life. And when you figure that out, you won't burn out because you'll be inspired by what you want, by what you're doing. The last thing I want to leave you with is a quote from Moshe Feldenkrais, which is, "If you know what you're doing, you can do what you want." This is one of the deepest things I've ever heard, and something I try to live by. If you know what you're doing, you can do what you want. Most of us are not yet aware, all of us are not fully aware of what we're doing when we're doing it. And as long as we're unaware of what's really happening with ourselves and what we're doing, it's very hard to actually be able to choose to do what we want. So much of getting what we want in life is less about trying to do better and more about trying to be aware of what we're doing. What am I doing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is my body saying? And what's happening in the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual areas of my life? What is going on? What am I doing? When you get a very clear picture of what you're doing, then you can start doing what you want. Thank you very much for coming. I hope this was enjoyable and helpful to you. There's a couple tools I gave here. If you try them out and they work for you, let me know how they worked out for you. And until next time, have a wonderful, wonderful day. And oh, I am starting a group. I am starting a group where I'm teaching all the techniques that I've been giving in my one-on-one coaching. I am starting a school, a university. It's called the University of Happiness, and I will be teaching these techniques. And I'm accepting my first groups now. And If you would like to be considered, if you'd like to apply, if you would like to be part of this and learn this, send me a message. You can just DM me here on LinkedIn. Tell me that you're interested in learning more about the University of Happiness, and we will be in touch. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful day, and good luck on your journey and in your life. All the best.